I have so many things to say to you. Things I wish you could understand. But, alas, it is just not possible. You have come into this world not knowing where you came from or even remotely what you are. You have lived your whole life this way. So you made do. You worked. You lived. But you lack the evermore within you. You don't know this. You may not understand it, but you lack it. It is easy for all of us to come into that moment where we forget everything that we are really here for and just live our life in the discord of the collective unconscious. Always looking for something to satisfy us or to make us happy. We miss so very much. We are looking for pleasing words, not truth. We argue with the truth. We argue with everything. We are always in our conflict because I once again, the evermore eludes us. We have very little understanding, nor do we care to have any understanding of what it means to truly live, to come into the evermore. There are many, many things that bind us. Our understanding, the way we understand and what we understand is very, very difficult for us. Lhasa talks about at the end of 81, heaven's way is to benefit and not to harm. The sage's way is to act and not to contend, to fight. You listen to my words, but you miss their meaning. Words are spoken here in silence. They make no sense to the average person, to the pedestrian mentality. Everything has to make sense according to logic and reasoning. This really limits our ability to awaken. And maybe your whole effort here is not to awaken, to be cautious, to be afraid. But I say to you, you will never, ever find the evermore the way you are living. Lhasa says in the Tao, please listen, and we'll meditate on this at the end. I ask for understanding as I travel the great way, so that I might not lose sight of the road. The great way is simple and manifest, but people prefer to take other paths. Yes. Yes, other paths, not the direct one. We want the paths where words are pleasing to us and we can understand these truths. We want to make it something special in our minds. But you see, the mind interprets everything based on genetics, your mental acuity and emotional, and of course, mainly from DNA, your need and fear of survival. So when it comes time to awaken in your life, where you realize the futility and the sickness of society, you find yourself as sick as society, but you don't know it. You don't seek to do more for others. The evermore is lost. The benefit of the way is not to harm, but to help. A scholar, old Zen story, came to a Zen master and said, "I have come from very far away to learn something from you." The master laughed uproariously and said, "Then you've come to the wrong place. Go to some university, some scholar, some great pundit. There you will be able to learn something. But if you come to me, then please be aware that learning here is not possible. I teach only unlearning. I can teach you how to unlearn, how to throw away words, to create space within you. And that space is the divine. That space is the source." I don't think most people are looking for that source. They're looking to get by. The sage does not hoard. The more he does for others, the more he has. But what is this has? What is it? Is it money? Is it adoration? What is this has? This is the evermore that lives within you, that you have ignored through many incarnations. You hoard, you fear. You find yourself miserly with all the greatness that lives within you. You live only according to your fears. We have many stories about all of this, about trying to understand what cannot be understood by the pedestrian mentality. Do you remember the story of the king? He told his carpenter he wanted a table. So he told this man that he wanted this table built as soon as possible. So the man said, "Well, it's going to take days. Days to bring a little wood for this table. And sometimes it takes more than days, it takes months. Sometimes it may not find the wood for 3 years. It is a difficult art," said the man. The king was puzzled. "Do you remember this story?" He said, "What do you mean? Explain. The old man said, "Well, first I have to go on a fast. Only when I am on a fast does my mind by and by slow down. When my mind slows down, all thoughts disappear. All aggression disappears." This is an interesting man. "When I am no longer violent, and there is pure compassion within me, a different vibe begins to occur. When I feel that vibe of no mind, then I go into the forest, because only through that vibe can I find the correct tree. With aggression, how can I find the right tree? And I have to ask the trees themselves whether or not one of them is willing to become a table. I look around. And when I feel the tree is willing, that willingness can be felt. Because I have no mind to contradict it. You see, once we admit that authentic intelligence is not the product of knowledge or thought, that is when thinking has no real importance to us. So the man fasts, meditates, becomes absolutely empty, and he finds the right tree and asks the tree if he can cut a branch from it. And if the tree wholeheartedly says yes, then I begin my work. Do you understand this story? Makes no logical sense to most people, because it is of the evermore. The goodness of the evermore. You see, the old man was there to build the table as a benefit, not a harm to the tree. This is the way of the Tao. This is the way that lives within you. And when you can't understand what I am teaching, it is only because you have not fasted. You have not sat with yourself. In a mind that is no longer calculating, a mind that is no longer, as the old man said, aggressive, violent. To understand my violent mind is to really understand how far I can go with my understanding. To become aware, to take my understanding and transcend my mind, transcend my understanding to something far more powerful than that of the Gregory Penn intellect, which is absolutely foolish. You see, when the person of first-rate intelligence, as Lao Tzu says, hears the truth, he understands it immediately. He does not fight it. True words are not pleasing. Pleasing words are not true. Those who are right, meaning aligned, do not argue. Those who argue cannot be aligned. Those who know are not learned people. Those who are learned can never know. You know too much, quote unquote. What do you know? What do you know that you can take with you through death? Very little, if anything. People will say to me, I wasted my life. I cannot disagree with them. The waste is in the mind, how the mind thinks, the way the mind thinks. I love this story I'm about to give to you. I've given you many, many stories throughout the years. This story means so much to me because I had a similar experience. You see, it happened once that a Sufi master suddenly called one of his disciples. Many disciples were sitting there in the hall. But he called out this one. He said, please, come near me. That's a very beautiful thing for a master to say. The master was standing near the window. It was a full moon night. All the disciples watched in wonder. Why had he called this man? Then the Sufi master indicated something outside the window. He pointed and said, "Look." Now most people would be looking logically for an object, a thing, an event. That is the logic and reasoning. What is there to see? What is there to look at? This kind of mind is not a generous mind. It can never understand the evermore. It's a hoarding mind, an arrogant mind. Well, from that day on, the young man had been changed completely. His fellow students would ask what happened. There was nothing to look at. It was just a full moon night. We've seen hundreds of these. It was beautiful, but it seemed out of proportion with what happened to you. You are a completely transformed person. They wanted to know what happened. You see, what eyes do you look at your life with? What ears do you hear this discourse in? The ears of doubt, of complaint, of self-hatred. Well, the young man, he said, "I heard the master, and I was so silent. I was so without thought, so peaceful." So when he indicated that something was there to look at, it opened up something in me, a window in me. My perceptions, my assumptions were gone. I was naked in the moonlight. I had new eyes. I could see things I had taken for granted many years ago. But now I can no longer take this for granted. I saw for the first time that which was obvious, but my eyes could not see it. My ears could not hear it. In that single moment, I became whole. Nothing was mine. I had given up everything for that moment. Now existence looks very different to me. Now I see things. They are not far away. And I will live evermore in this goodness. This is virtue. He saw, he watched. He looked out of a tremendous virtue. When you can admit one day or another that the way you live your life, the way you think, is merely a product of thought, and that this thought has brought to you many consequences, and that your life has been swimming through the consequences of assumption and presumption. When you can realize that your life, my life, has been a product of thought, and you realize this, then thinking and thoughts can hurt you no more. You will have entered the evermore. Let's do this together in meditation. Let's go back to what Lhotse said in the beginning here. I ask for understanding as I travel the great way, so that I might not lose sight of the road. The great way is simple and manifests, but people prefer to take other paths. Together, you and I.